Howdy, howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 389, catching up on spring questions. Hope you folks have had a great week. Yeah, spring keeps coming. We've got at least one pair of white-breasted nuthatches already in a box. I don't know what they're doing in there, but I think it's some spring hanky-panky. I hope you're out there watching, looking for opportunities, making those clicks, and sharing those photographs. I appreciate you spending more time with me this week. It means a lot to me, so thanks so much. You might have noticed this past week that there was another Moose podcast, yet it wasn't a Moose podcast, but it was Moose on a podcast. I want to thank my good friend Tom over there at Camera Cafe. That was just a great experience talking with Tom. The one thing that I just count my blessings for and totally amazed by is this rural photography is an incredible world. And the fact that I was able to have this great conversation with this really gracious gentleman over across the pond, and you guys get to listen in. I mean, it's just amazing. So thanks, Tom. I really appreciate and humbled by the opportunity. I want to say this is still being a podcast being recorded by Adobe Beta. And according to their stats, this podcast will put me over 1,000 minutes, 1,000 minutes using the Adobe Podcast Beta. So you guys are reporting that it sounds good. And that's really what matters to me because it's AI being driven as far as the mixing and the sound quality, and of course the transcript, which is being generated, which you will find there at the blog post for the podcast. Want to thank my good friends at Bedford Camera, bedfords.com. We're getting closer and closer to that eclipse. This is the headquarters for all that stuff. Filters and bodies and lenses and knowledge and all the things you need to record the eclipse. What another great natural moment we get to share and enjoy through photography, as well as everything else that you want to do with whatever genre spins your wheels. Bedford's has got it. Service, prices, great folks, and it is the home of the Moose discount. So I want to thank Bedford Camera for continuing to support the podcast. They've done it for so many years. They're such gracious people. Bedfords.com. Thank you ever so much. Well, I'm going to get into these questions, and boy, they were piling up, folks. Yikes. So I got a couple people who would rather have their name associated with the question. I'm not sure how a first name is incriminating to people, but just to stay on the side of PC where I seem to have a hard time treading, I'm not going to say who's asked the questions anymore. You will have to listen and you will know if it was you. So I guess I'm going to go with all these questions have lots of people ask them. So I'm not going to go in any particular order, just other than I wrote them down. One of the questions was basically the Z180 to 600 versus the Z600 6.3. What are my thoughts? At this point, I can give you some actual honest feedback. I really think both these lenses are they're really sweet lenses. So sweet. Jake got, our son's got the 180 to 600. And I got to play with his lens. I'm here to tell you, I'm flabbergasted at how cool that lens is. And he had very specific reasons for having it, which I think are really valid. He does a lot of fly fishing, and he's in the field. And doesn't want a lot of weight. He wants to be able to cast that rod, and he does it so well. God, he's gone flying past my abilities. Anyway, that 180-600 gives him that ability, but gives him that reach because he sees all these cool things, minks and moose and stuff when he's out there fly fishing. And it's small, it's light. Yeah, it's sharp. Variable f-stop, what difference does it make? I mean, in this day and age, really everybody's just going to crank up the ISO. So other than depth of focus, it's irrelevant, it seems like, anymore. And he also does a lot of aviation, does it really well. And that lens got my attention, that 180-600. I'm currently using the Z400-45 for ground-to-air kind of photography. I kind of like the idea of that 180-600 range, so I'm considering it. Now, the other lens is Z600-63. That's another really nice, small 600-millimeter lens. I compare these both to the Z600-4TC, which is my big lens, main shooting lens. And yeah, these are very small compared to that physically and weight-wise. So when it comes to comparing the two, I got to be honest with you. If you're asking me which one you should get, I don't have that answer. You have to look at sincerely your photographic needs and wants and how you want to tell that story. That's really the important and most relevant factor into which lens to get. For me personally, I could recommend either lens to you, hands down, no issues. One thing I'm going to tell you, and I've had a number of people, I shouldn't say a number, a handful of people have said they've had sharpness issues with both lenses. And I only investigated one because it's one person I knew. And the problem wasn't the lens. I know, hard to believe, right? It was the photographer. You get out to 600 millimeter, you got to remember your angle of view is just like nothing. And just a hair of movement, it will be out of focus. And that's not the lens's fault. That is the person giving that lens stability to be sharp. So I don't see any sharpness issues. I do see photographers needing to practice their techniques. And getting back to the basics is really kind of important. That's going to be, we're going to talk about that this year a lot. So I hope that helps. Next question was really interesting. It came in. I got a couple of a number of questions based on wildlife photography. This is the first. Do I use Merlin Bird ID? Now, for those who don't know what Merlin Bird ID is, it is a free app that is available for any smart device. I have it on my iPhone. And if you're in the birding world, you know that it's actually a slight controversial app because birders, some individuals, I should say, not birders, but some individuals are using just the sound as it called sound ID strictly to do their birding. They're not doing anything by visual. I'm not going to get into that kind of controversy, but when it comes to answering a question, do I use Merlin Bird ID? I do use the sound ID. I actually use it probably more at the ranch than other places. And I use it at the ranch, to be honest with you, especially like right now. The pine siskins are just thick in the trees. And their chorus kind of drowns out a lot of things, like the Hammond flycatcher, which has such a soft little sweet call that if I don't have Merlin ID, I'm often not going to see it, and then I'm not looking for it. And that's probably the biggest thing. Merlin ID, I do use this, the sound ID, because there's lots of things going on, and there are times where, like I just mentioned, all the siskins are going on, but I don't want to photograph siskins. I want to photograph perhaps that flycatcher. That's one of the main main ways I use Merlin ID. Now, it also has a photo ID component. And that photo ID component, I've used it a couple of times. You have to apply some logic to it. You just can't take it at face value. I use it often when I'm photographing a mixed species gull flock, let's say there's in there, there's some lesser black back and some laughing, some other kind of gulls in there. And gulls like bald eagles, they take a number like 4 years for to have adult plumage. And until they have that adult plumage, they can be just a real pain in the neck to ID. So I've used Merlin photo ID for that. So the quick answer is yes, I do use Merlin photo. I do use Merlin bird ID in those ways. And I think it's a great tool, and it helps all the knowledge you can get in photography, no matter what it's about, is going to make you a better photographer. Kind of leads me into the next question. How important is it to be a birder? And I'm summarizing a number of emails. And the heart of the question is, do you have to be a birder or a really good birder to be a really good bird photographer? The answer is yes and no, and no and yes. It goes back to what I mentioned a number of times, that very first writing lesson we had where our English teacher said to write about a subject, you need to know about a subject. That makes you a better photographer when you know about the subject better. But when you start out, when I started out, I knew birds had wings and a bill and things like that, but the nuances between a downy woodpecker and a hairy woodpecker, especially when you see them on your monitor and not in real life, because the downy is much smaller, its bill is smaller, and you start knowing about birds, you start noticing those things, or a lesser yellow legs and greater yellow legs, you start seeing it. But on the monitor, boy, some of that stuff hard to just call up. So is it important to be a birder? I want to say generally, no. It is important to have field ethics. It's important not to stress that subject. It's important that when you're done photographing that subject, it can go about its life and you've not impacted its goal of survival. Now, if you can do that without being a birder, that works. The thing is, there are some critters out there that they're real prisses. You know, they just don't want to be messed with, for lack of better terms. And the more you know about that subject, which birding brings into light, the better you'll be at that. The other thing about when you are a true birder, not as my good friend Roger Torrey Peterson would call a ticker, but you're really into bird biology, there's a lot of things that you can, you never know everything. We don't have all the answers. We have really good assumptions. We have some really strong lines that we can take investigation. But the more you understand that basic biology, the better you are at storytelling. And the better you are at storytelling, the better you are as a photographer. So how important it is to be a birder? I don't know of a way of scaling how important it is. It's just that when you know the subject, you can photograph the subject. Question that comes in, I had over 100 emails, questions just about this one simple topic, the Z8 or the Z9. And the Z8 now has firmware 2.0, which really lights up that body. And I'm here to tell you, if you don't need built-in GPS and the ability to log your points, and you're not shooting a ton of video, the Z8 is the way to go. Point blank, simple. Smaller, weighs less, costs less. And it does a great job. The Z8 just does a great job. If you're going to shoot a lot of video, and let's quantify it, let's say 50% of what your content creation is video, and you do need that GPS and GPS logging, then the Z9 is it. And that is, for myself, the only delineation between which camera body I'm going to grab out of the bag. Now, there's one other thing which is totally irrelevant to the picture making process, And that is just the psyche feel of the rig that you're using. For example, the Z600 F4 TC works perfectly with both bodies, Z8 or Z9. But for myself, it's always going to be the Z9. I just like the look of it, the romance of it, the feel of it. It has nothing to do with image creation. It's just a mind thing. And that's it. And I love the Z9. It is my primary body. I love the Z8, but it is not my primary body. It is my second body. Now, for yourself, seriously, that criteria, battery consumption, shooting video, GPS, if you can say yes to one or no to the other, then that should, to me, is how you determine where you get a Z8 or Z9. And with firmware 2.0, that Z8, it's a rocket ship. So I'm saving kind of, boy, I'm going into time too. I'm saving what was really the big question of this period. And I couldn't find what started it. But to sum it all up, I got a lot of emails. And the gist is, my photos are getting no likes on social. Clients are not calling. After all, I'm posting on social, the photographs, help. Wow. I thought about doing a whole podcast on this, and then I thought, you know, to be honest with you, the help that I can provide isn't podcast length kind of help. There's a couple of things going on here. And the first is the likes. You've got to understand that you have no control over those likes. You can post a gazillion photographs, and depending on a whole lot of factors which you have no say in, your pictures might not ever get sent out. One of my biggest frustrations as a personal user is those people who I want to follow on the various social media streams, they won't let me see them. I mean, I want to see every post by Tim Wallace. And those suckers, I don't get to see every post from my good friend and really great photographer and really great wisdom, smart guy, Tim Wallace. I have to go looking for him. I have to literally search for his name to see all his posts, because those suckers, those different social threads say, yeah, you don't really want to see all of them. Even though you follow them, you don't really want to see them all. And I really do. So you're not getting all the likes you think you should get. It's probably because your images aren't going to all the people you think they should, which could be clients. But here's the other part of this coin. At least the clients that I work with and I deal with, and I deal with such a small fraction of them on this planet, I don't think it even gets past 3 zeros after the decimal point. It's such a small fraction. But those who I deal with and talk to, they don't go to the web. They don't go to social media looking for photographs. They still don't. Now, that is slowly changing. It used to be absolutely zero. Now, there is a very small percentage out there, the younger ones who do that. But yeah, it's like crickets. So my word of advice is, don't even give it a second thought about you're not getting the likes you think you should and the clients not calling. You need to call the clients. Point blank, bottom line, you have to go out there and say, hey, I'm here. I'm a nice person, and I've got some great photographs. I have stories to tell. Let's work together. You'd be surprised how that just upfront, point blank confidence. And of course, you've got to remember, you've got to have the photographs to back up that confidence. You'll get the business. Well, I hope that I have helped you folks with the catching up on some of these spring questions. I really appreciate you guys reaching out. I appreciate all the kind words. You folks have a marvelous week. And remember to make every click your story.